Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, we're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing men and women who took God at His Word, who trusted God. We're looking at this passage. We want to be encouraged, too, as we see these faithful believers, and we want to make a difference for Jesus Christ. We've seen Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and last time we saw the parents of Moses. This morning we're going to see Moses. I think he's one of the most famous people in the whole Bible, and in this section, we're really calling it decisions by faith. And when we do that, we're seeing Moses' parents made a decision. We saw that last time, and they hid Moses. And then we're going to see Moses makes a decision. It's a decision to leave Pharaoh's home by faith. And we'll see what happened. Well, and by the way, it's a costly decision. And we want to look carefully at that, because he made a huge decision. And I think that if any of us were challenged with the same thing, I think it might be, hard for us to make that kind of decision. You think about that he is being raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and he's in the household of the king of Egypt, and he leaves it to become a slave. And we'll see that as we go through it. Moses' decision to live for God rather than for himself. And this morning, I want you to think about your life. Are you living for Jesus Christ, or are you living for yourself? I mean, this is a hard thing. Now, salvation is a gift and costs us absolutely nothing. And so we're not talking about having salvation. Salvation comes by faith alone and Christ alone. We're talking about, as believers, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, how are we living? What are we doing? Well, let me remind you of something as we get started. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 is the Great Commission. It literally says to make disciples and to go into all the world and to make disciples. And that's what it is. And making disciples is actually twofold. It's evangelism, leading people to Christ, and then training them and equipping them, teaching them to observe all what Jesus Christ has taught. That's the plan. Now, I want you to think about this. To be a believer cost us absolutely nothing. We trust Jesus Christ as Savior, cost us nothing. It is simply by grace through faith. I hope every one of you in this room, that if someone asked you, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Would you have eternal life? Would you be with Jesus Christ? That every one of you in this room would say, yes, because I have put my faith in Christ as my Savior. It's not what I've done. It's not my goodness. It's not my works. In fact, it's nothing I've done. I've received the gift of eternal life. That's what I hope. Second, though, all of us who have believed in Christ, are we disciples? Are we living for Christ? Because being a disciple means take up your cross, die to yourself, and live for Jesus Christ. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a gift. This is the Christian life. This is how we live. I hope and pray every one of us in this room will come to a point, if you haven't already, where you say, I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I will go wherever he wants me to go. I'll do whatever he wants me to do. I want my life to count for him. One of the key things is Romans 12:1. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer your lives, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. There comes a time in our lives when we say to God, I want my life to count for you. I want to go wherever you want me to go. I want to do whatever you want me to do. And that's the key. So here's the questions. Are you a believer by faith in Jesus Christ? I hope every one of you in this room would say, yes, I've trusted Christ. I know I have eternal life. I hope then we'd say, well, are you a disciple? Have you chosen to live for Christ? Have you said to the Lord, I want my life to count for you? It will change everything. And so this morning, we're going to see what Moses did. We're going to see that Moses was willing to say, I want my life to count for the God of Israel, for the living God. In fact, this passage even talks about that he would consider the reproach of Christ, the Messiah, greater than the riches of Egypt. So as we continue this morning, we're going to look at verses 24, 25, and 26 as we see Moses. If you remember, we already saw last week Moses' mother and daddy. They're Amram and Jochebed. The law of the Egyptians said that if a little boy baby was born, if you had a girl baby, you could let her live, Hebrew-wise. If it was a Jewish boy baby born, they were to put it to death. Moses' mother and father hid Moses for 3 months because they knew he was beautiful in the sight of God, which meant they knew he was special. They knew that God had set this child apart. They actually believed that this little boy named Moses was going to be the one to lead the nation of Israel back to the promised land. So they hid him, and then Moses' mother put him in the basket, put him in the river. She knew that the Pharaoh's daughter would come down to bathe. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket, got it pulled in, looked at it, saw the little Hebrew baby. Her heart went out and said, I want this baby. And she adopted Moses. She called him Moses because he didn't have a name. Moses means to draw out of. She says, I'm going to call him Moses because I drew him out of the river. And so from that point on, Moses, until he was 40 years old, lived in Pharaoh's household, was trained in Egypt. He was a son of the king, basically. And he had all of the things. When we think of Moses, we think of the Old Testament. We think of the lawgiver. We think of the man who saw the burning bush. We think of the man who led the nation of Israel out. We think of the man who went to Mount Sinai and went on top of the mountain and came back with the commandments. That's what we think about. But let's think about his life before we see in Hebrews 11. Moses lived. Anybody know how long he lived? He lived to be 120 years old. And his life was divided. And he met, of course, we're going to see his decision to live for Christ, to live for God, really, rather than men. Moses' life was three 40-year time periods. It's kind of amazing, but it breaks into three 40-year time periods. He lived 40 years in Pharaoh's household. Then he lived 40 years in the desert. And then he lived 40 years bringing the nation of Israel out and then wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. He died when he was 120. I want you to do this. Hold your place in Hebrews 11, and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7. Just flip back to Acts. If you've got a Bible, turn back over to Acts chapter 7. I want you to see about Moses' life. Three 40-year time periods. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 gives us an overview of the history of Israel. If you ever said, you know, the Old Testament's big. There's a lot there. Well, just go to Acts chapter 7. Read one chapter in Acts chapter 7. The Bible's put together, the Old Testament put together in one chapter. Look what it says about Moses in his early life. Verse 20. It was at this time that Moses was born. And he was lovely in the sight of God. That meant he was special. And he was nurtured 3 months in his father's household. They hid him. After he'd been set outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. Now, can you imagine? Listen, I had a friend that was really wealthy. A wealthy person. And he adopted a little boy from another country. And where this little boy, what country he was in, was about as poor as you could be. He was in an orphanage in a very poor country. And my friend adopted him and raised him in his household. And one time he and I talked, and I said, do you realize the change in this boy's life? He said, it's amazing, isn't it? He went from one of the poorest places on earth to one of the richest places on earth. And Moses went from a family of slaves to being raised by the king of Egypt. The king's own daughter raised him. From poverty to riches. Amazing. Look what it says. After he had been set outside, verse 21, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and nurtured him as her own son. And Moses was educated in what? In all the learning of the Egyptians. He was a man of power in words and deeds. So he was incredible. Incredible. He'd hid by his parents, taken by Pharaoh's daughter, educated. Let me tell you, he got the best education in the world. See, at that time, Egypt is the world power. See, after Egypt, later on, there's going to be the Syrians and the Babylonians and the Medo-Persians and the Greco-Macedonians and the Romans. All those are going to flow. But at this time, the world power is Egypt. And Pharaoh is a god. I mean, he thinks he's a god. They thought he was a god. You know? And so this little boy is being raped. But let me tell you something that Moses knew. Moses knew because he had been nurtured by his mother. He knew his connection. He realized he wasn't an Egyptian. In fact, he looked around and he realized, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm a Hebrew. And Hebrews are slaves. And notice what it says, but verse 23. When he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren, the sons of Israel. Now, this says at the age of 40, he visited. Listen, the word visit doesn't mean like he went outside and said, how y'all doing? No, it means he went to live with his people. He left Pharaoh's household and said, I am never living here again, and became a slave. See, he saw the mistreatment of his people. And if you remember, he saw an Egyptian beating up a Jew. And he went over and killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. And then it was discovered. And he thought his own people would know. They'd say, Moses, you're the guy that's going to lead us out. He said, I'm the guy that's going to lead you out. And they said, we don't even know who you are. And he had to run for his life. And he spent 40 years, the next 40 years, in the backside of a desert. I want you to understand something. Think about how God works things. Moses was trained in the Egyptian household with the top training in the world, but that didn't qualify him to lead God's people. God took him to the backside of a desert, and for 40 years he took care of sheep. That prepared him, because when he led the nation of Israel out, what did he do for 40 years? He led the nation of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 29 says, Moses fled and became an alien of Midian and became the father of two sons. And after 40 years is when he saw the burning bush. Now, let me tell you something about Moses' wife. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He thought he was big time, richest person in the world. Pharaoh, richest king in the world. He's in the household, but he begins to realize that, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That's not what God has for me. I'm Jewish. I'm a Hebrew. I'm not an Egyptian. I can't stay here. And he leaves that. We're going to see it in more in detail in a minute when we go back to Hebrews. By faith, he left Pharaoh's household. And when he goes to Midian, and for 40 years on the backside of the desert, he's taking care of sheep. And you know what he thought? I blew it. I was supposed to be the one to lead the people out of Egypt. I was supposed to be the one. And what am I doing? I'm over here in Midian, in the backside of the desert, taking care of a bunch of sheep. And I haven't done this for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I've done this for 40 years. I'm 80 years old. My time has passed. I was supposed to do something great for God, and I missed it. That's what he thought. Let me tell you something. It's you're never too old to do something great for God. And you're never too young to do something great for God. And when Moses is 80 years old on the backside of that desert, he walks by and he sees this bush burning, and he says, that is amazing. That bush is burning, but it's not burning up. It's just burning. And he goes over there. And God says, Moses, take your shoes off. It's holy ground. You're leading my people out. You could have done it 40 years ago if you knew what you're doing, but you didn't. So I had to train you for 40 years, and now it's time. So he spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert, and in verse 30 when it says, after 40 years had passed, he's now 80 years old, God tells him to go back. And he goes back, and of course, we're gonna talk about this in a couple of weeks. He leads the nation out, and for 40 years, they wander in the wilderness, and he dies. 100 years, 120 years old. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Let's see what happened. Amazing story of his life. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, 40 years old, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. It's always by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, it's always by faith. Everything in this chapter is by faith, and that's what we got to understand, that God wants us to live by faith. That we take God at his word and we say, here's what the word of God says. What does he say? I'll never leave you or forsake you. What did that song say? You can be fearless. You don't have to be afraid as you go through life because God says, I'm with you. Do you believe that God is with us or not? We say, I believe he's with us. Then don't be afraid. Go and do what he's got for us to do. Moses said, I'm not going to be afraid. I know what I'm supposed to do. I could stay in this household and be rich the rest of my life, or I could go do what God has for me to do. And that's what Moses did. As we look at this, it's a negative and a positive. The negative is verse 24, and the positive is verse 25. Here's the negative. It says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, he refused. This is the negative. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, I'm not going to be part of that household. Then the positive is he choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing of pleasure of sin. He said, listen, I've got to make a choice. Well, that's a hard choice. Not a hard choice. Which would you rather do? Live in a rich guy's house and be the president's son and know that you may be the president one day and that you got all the riches in the world, or to go be a slave because you knew that God's plan for your life was to lead those slaves out of there and go back to the promised land? You could say something like, well, you know, if I stay here, I could have some influence to help my people. Maybe I could help take some of this slavery away. I can just stay in the household of Pharaoh and I can tell him, let's do some good things for the Jewish people. Maybe I can help my people by being a leader in Egypt. That's not what Moses said. Moses said, I can't help my people by disobeying God. He knew that he was a Jewish person. He knew that he was not an Egyptian. And he knew what God had called him to do. He had been taught that he was special. In Acts chapter 7, it says he thought that people would understand. He thought his own people would understand that he was the one to lead them out. Tell me this. What if you were in the household that was the richest in the world, and you decided that you would become a slave with these people because you knew God had called you to take those people out? And then you get with the people and you say, "It's time to go." And they go, "We don't even know who you are." That's what happened. He thought the people would understand. And they didn't. He could almost look at him saying, "But my mom and daddy told me I was chosen by God to do this." What did he do? Here's the positive. Verse 25. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God, to become a slave, than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. To be a slave. He went from being a king to being a slave, from royalty to slavery. He chose to be a Jewish person. He chose to be a Hebrew slave, and he left Pharaoh's palace. Why? Why did he do this? First of all, it says he's choosing rather to enjoy to suffer ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin. You'd say, wait a minute, what was he doing wrong? What would be sin? It would be sin to stay in Pharaoh's household when he was supposed to lead the nation back to the promised land. See, a lot of times when we think about sin, we think of what we call sins of commission. It says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and we do it. But there's sins called sins of omission. When God says, do this, do this, do this, and if we don't do them, that's sin as well. Moses' responsibility was to lead the people out. And if he had stayed in Pharaoh's household, he would have enjoyed the passing pleasures of sin. Think about his decision. Just doesn't look, you know, when you read this, you go, well, he decided not to live in Pharaoh's house. He gave up the riches of the world to be a slave to do what God had for him to do. What about your life? What do you want out of life? Why are we here? Is it to get all we can get from this world? Or is it to live for Jesus Christ? And when you live for Jesus Christ, it's going to be the greatest thing of all time. There's no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean you have the riches of this world. You may have nothing. You may have everything. You never know. Why are we here? When you wake up in the morning, why are we here? What do you say? What am I going to do today? Or God, what do you have for me today? Are we living for self or are we living for God? Moses made a decision. He made a decision to bypass pleasure in the household to suffer ill treatment with the Hebrews. Why did he do it? Notice. He said it's better to suffer for Christ than to have all the riches of the world. Notice what it says in verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ greater than riches, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking to the reward. He said, it's better to look to the eternal. It's better to look for what God's got for me in the future rather than enjoying what this old world has now. It's better to suffer the reproach of being connected with Christ than to have all the riches of the world. See, he was looking forward. Let me tell you what God did for him while he was on this earth. God spoke to Moses face to face. How many people in the scripture do you know that God spoke to them face to face? God came down and spoke to Moses. God met with Moses. Moses is called the friend of God. God would come down at the tabernacle after it was built later on, and Moses would meet with him face to face. When it was time to get the law, Moses was the only one that went on top of the mountain. Other people came up to a certain point, and then there was another time he said nobody come up on the mountain. Moses had the most unique relationship. He's one of the most greatest men who ever lived. Why? Because he chose to live for God. And think about the future. Look what it says, that he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward, or looking to the reward. Moses is called the lawgiver. Moses is called the friend of God. Moses is a man set apart. And Jewish people love him. We love him. He's the man. What about us? Who do you live for? What's your life all about? Notice it says that Moses was looking for the reward. Are we looking for the reward? Let me tell you something. We talked about it in Sunday school. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things that we've done in this body, whether good or worthless. Let me go slowly. We, each one of us, will stand before the, it's called the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment is the Greek word bema. It means rewarding stand. Every one of you who know Christ as Savior, at one time, you will stand before the rewarding, the bema seat of Christ. You, by yourself, will stand before Christ. It says, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be, it says, recompensed, which means given back, for the things that we've done in this body, whether good or worthless, is what it says. Some Bibles say good or evil, but the word evil actually means worthless. It means like rotten fruit. Is your life going to be good or rotten? One day, you will stand before Christ. This has nothing to do with salvation. You already have eternal life when you stand before Jesus Christ. You will stand before Christ to be rewarded for how you lived at this time on this earth. And we have choices to make, in the same that Moses did. Moses said, I can live by the pleasure of this world, live in the rich people's house, do all this, and do whatever I want to do, or I can choose to live for Christ, what God has for me to do. And Moses made that choice because he was looking to the reward. Every one of us in this room have the same choices. We can either say, I just want to go through life. I want to do what I want to do. I want to get the house, the car, the boat. I want to get all the stuff I want. I want to do the things I want. I want to get this and this and this. I just want to enjoy life. Or we can say, Lord, I just want to live for you. Wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I want my life to count for you. I want the gifts, talents, and abilities you've given me. I want to use them for your honor and your glory. And when you stand before Jesus Christ, if you have lived for Christ, he will say, well done, what? Good and faithful servant. And he will reward you. And you remember a couple of the parables in which he brings the guy up, and the guy says, you gave me this, and I did this. And he says, wow, well done, good and faithful servant. Receive this that I have for you, rewards. Because one day we will live with Jesus Christ on this earth in a 1,000-year reign called the millennium, and then an eternal place called the new heavens and the new earth with the holy city that we've talked about. And based on lifestyle here, and the rewards that you get will be how you live and serve for all eternity. Now, some people don't think that way, and I mentioned it in Sunday school, that a lot of people think that when we all get together, everybody will be the same. You will not be the same. Everyone will have responsibilities based on their service while we lived now. That's why you'll stand before your judgment seat of Christ to be recompensed, given back, rewarded for the things that you've done, whether good or evil. Let me just say this. When you stand before Christ, there are two things, praise and rewards. That's what we want. We want praise and rewards. You know what the praise is? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the praise. The rewards, places of service in the kingdom and for all eternity. So here's a question for me and for you. Where are we? You know my story. I trusted Christ when I was 19. February 13th, 1969, I was in the college, walking down the hall. I always thought you had to be good to go to heaven. In fact, I thought as long as you did more good than bad, you could go to heaven. I wandered into a Bible study. I didn't know it was a Bible study. I would not have gone if it was a Bible study because I didn't want to go to church. Went to church a couple times, hated it, and when I was younger. So I walked into this room. They shut the door. I couldn't get out. But I heard the truth of Jesus Christ. And at 19 years old, I put my faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. So I've had eternal life since then. But for some years past, And I knew some people had talked to me about, you know, as a Christian, you ought to live for Christ. But I didn't want to live for Christ, because I thought if you said, Christ, I want to do whatever you want me to do, he'd make you a pastor, or you'd have to be a missionary. That's what I thought. And I wanted to be a coach, because most of you know that I coached at Mississippi State. That's the whole dream of my life, was to be a coach. And so I actually on purpose said, I'm not going to say to God, I really want to live for you, because I'm afraid if I say I want to live for you, you won't let me be a coach. Because I was way wrong. Because he knows exactly what he's doing. And finally it came to a point in my life where I came to the place where I said, I want my life to count for you. That has nothing to do with salvation. And it's never been the same. And he let me coach for a long time, but then he changed my desires. And the greatest joy of my life is being a pastor. The greatest joy of my life is teaching the Bible. The greatest joy of my life is being with you. And so if you were to say to me, boy, when you said to God, you'll live for him, he took away the one thing you like. No, no, no. He just changed my desires to something I like even better. And so for each of you in this room that have trusted Christ, if you've never come to the point where you said, listen, I know I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven, but I'm sort of afraid to say, okay, Lord, take my life, because I don't know what he's going to do with me. I have no idea what he's going to do with you, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be fantastic. He will take you and use you beyond what you could ask or imagine. Your life will change. You'll see God work through you. You'll see people come to know Christ. Things will happen, and you'll go, this is the greatest thing ever. It may be hard. Moses said, you know, I could stay here, or I can live for Christ. If I live for Christ, I'm going to be a slave. I'm going to be a slave. It didn't get better for Moses. It got worse for Moses. So look at our lives. I hope and pray every one of you in this room, if you have not come to the point where you choose to live for Jesus Christ, that you will say, Lord, I want my life to count for you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You'll never regret it. Application. How are we living in our time on this earth? Do you live for yourself or do you live for Christ? Have you decided that you're going to live for Christ, and you say to him, take my life, I offer my life as a living sacrifice, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Remember, salvation costs us absolutely what? Nothing. To have eternal life costs you nothing. In fact, it can't cost you anything. It's a gift. If it costs you anything, it's not a gift. Jesus Christ has done it all. He's offering to you the gift of eternal life. It is by grace. You're saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So all of us in this room, we've received the gift of eternal life. But what are we going to do with these lives while we're on this earth? Are we going to live for him? Salvation costs us nothing, but to live for Christ cost us, and we want our lives to count for him. And look at the second thing. Are you looking to the eternal rather than the temporary pleasures of this fallen world? Moses did. Moses said, I can have all of the pleasures of this world, or I can be looking for the reward. I can look for the eternal that God has for me, to serve him, to be used by him. I mean, he had no idea. He didn't know he'd be 80 years old when he brought him back. He didn't know he was going to live to be 120. All he knew was that God was going to use him to take the nation back to Egypt. That's all he knew. He just didn't realize it would take 40 years on the backside of the desert to be trained to do that. May we look for the eternal. And one day, when you stand before Jesus Christ, I hope and pray that I hear this, and I hope and pray you hear this, that he says, well done, good and faithful servant.